Hey, Cat Boxers, we're back for another episode.
Yes, it's the third week of January, I believe.
And I'm Mal.
Unless this episode airs out of order, I don't know. And we're back once again with my parents. This episode has been recorded before we left back for Minnesota. Things that you're hearing right now have been pre-recorded.
Like they don't need to know that.
Yeah, every single podcast is pre-recorded.
They don't need to know that.
But anyway, we got Melanie's going to be leading this topic this week. What do we got, Melanie?
First, who are you?
I am Justin.
For those that are just starting with us.
That's like 3 weeks in a row I forgot to introduce myself.
Well, you weren't in last week.
Yeah, I wasn't in, I guess. Okay. So, and we're here again with my parents. Once again, to my left is my mom, Emily. Say hi, Mom.
Hi there.
And my dad is to my wife's left.
Hello.
Hi, Craig. God, that's weird to say that, Dad. So, Melanie, what's the topic this week?
The topic this week is, we all know, we hear about dogs doing this, but cats detecting illnesses or knowing when someone in a nursing home is going to pass and they go sit with that person. The parents have experiences with this. Emily, what did you do?
I used to be an activities director in nursing homes.
So you used to have a cat named Elsie there?
Elsie, yes.
Mm-hmm. That was like mid-90s, wasn't it?
Yes, and I would take care of that cat during the week. It would stay at the nursing home and then bring it home on the weekends. And it would go from room to room and visit the different residents and lay on their beds. And they welcomed that cat with open arms. They just loved her.
It was a friendly cat, too.
It was very friendly. She was black and white.
Yeah, I was going to say, she was black and white, liked chin scratches. Of course, what cat doesn't like chin scratches?
Yes. And it's interesting because her name was Elsie. Well, it was for life care. So, Elsie.
Oh, cute.
That makes sense.
I don't know where we even got her, but
that's unique.
Probably from the Humane Society here at Casper.
Probably.
Oh, she wasn't Marmalade's mom?
No.
Oh.
Marmalade's mom was born in the back of another nursing home Popular Living Center, which is no longer there.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
What did Elsie do for the patients that live there?
Just provide happiness and just being warmth and just to be there for them. And
comfort animals.
Comforting. Yeah. They were very, she was just a comforting animal and she was just a people person.
She was the resident kitty.
The resident kitty.
The OG.
There was nobody ever said get that cat out of here. You know,
right?
It was
right.
Always there. She was a welcome sight.
Isn't that common, like across the United States, like, or I guess the world too, could possibly do this. I don't know. Is having a pet in a nursing home something that is pretty common?
I've seen it.
Yeah, it is. They bring in horses and sheep and pigs.
Goats, little baby goats.
They do?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
The Castle Rock, they're the nursing home.
They brought in horses outside where people could pet them.
That's cool. The equine, kind of like equine therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really important.
Yeah, like connection with animals especially is something that all humans should have, you know, I think.
It's like you talked about in your podcast before this about how they provide comfort and
a couple weeks ago that we talked about.
What has your experience been with comfort animals?
Well, like I said, I used to work in a nursing home and we had cats, dogs, horses, you name it, pigs and stuff, and they bring them in. But as far as cats, we had a cat there that unfortunately was a very nice cat and would go into people's rooms, and this was usually, unfortunately, about 3 days before they die. So these cats knew that these patients were moving on and would provide the comfort form and peace that they needed.
Well, and some of you may be asking, how do cats sense these kind of things? It's been studied that cats have an acute sense of smell and have the ability to sniff out chemical change in the body caused by a disease. And both cats and dogs can also sense the change in mood, behavior, and pattern that affect a daily routine. I think that's how they know when we're just sick, you know, if we're under the weather too, or like if we get hurt and we're not moving around as much.
Do people, like when they get sick, obviously your temperature rises. Is that something that could attract like an animal?
Of course, you're warmer. And like Mel says, they can sense chemical changes in your body. But yeah, your body's warmer when you have a fever and they're going to come sit by you. And they know if their normal routine, I think, is broken up of being sick, they're going to come and
see what's wrong. And they can detect differences in both behavior physically and psychologically due to an illness.
Psychologically, though, I mean, like, they probably notice the person's behavior changing. Like, they probably notice the person.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that should be your next podcast by facial recognition. Facial.
Yeah, we could talk about that.
Like, facial.
How do cats know?
Humans make the facial expressions that humans make and how cats react, because there are big studies on that.
That's cool. Yeah, that'd be a cool topic.
Well, and tones, too.
And tone of your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we know.
Really?
Kitty's not even out here.
For example.
Yeah, like we noticed that Maddie is always at the door. Like the minute we get up there,
she's like a dog.
Right there. She knows.
She's at the door.
So that's. Probably her. I got probably her hearing us, but I don't know. She's always
I'm
right there.
I'm sure she can hear you.
I'm sure by now she recognizes the tone of our car and the tone of our footsteps and
even possibly time of day.
Yeah. Oh yeah, pets are good.
You
like
see
that.
Dogs waiting for kids to get off the bus. So why
yeah,
not?
Mm-hmm. They
why
know
not cats. Yeah,
exactly.
Cats are the same.
So what is your article about, Justin?
So there's a internet famous cat. I guess it could be other than the internet. I'm sure it's been on television and other places, but this cat, his name is Oscar. Perhaps you've heard of him. Oscar is an aloof cat kept by a nursing home who regularly predicted patients' deaths by snuggling alongside them in their final hours.
He came to public attention in 2007 because he was featured in an article by geriatrician David Dosa in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Right.
And he appears to be able to predict the impending death of terminally ill patients by choosing to nap next to people a few hours before they die.
And it says Dr. Dosa, once feared that families would be horrified by the furry Grim Reaper, especially after he made Oscar famous in a 2007 essay in the New England Journal of Medicine. So this cat is even in a journal of medicine.
Dr. Dosa hypothesizes for this ability that Oscar has, or this ability that Oscar has, is he's picking up on the lack of movement in such patients. Or that he can smell biochemicals released by of the dying cells.
Yeah, cats have an incredible sense of smell, so that's possible. You know, they can smell things that we can.
Also, I think having, like, a dog or a cat in, like, nursing homes kind of make it a little bit more homey. Where exactly. It's not more, it doesn't feel so
sterile
and institutionalized
exactly.
Type thing.
Well, that's the idea of nursing homes. Not all nursing homes meet that, or...
Yeah, so it says that they adopted the cat in 2005. He's a medium-haired cat with gray and brown and black and a white belly. And they adopted him because they thought pets were safe at this house. They play with children. They provide a distraction for patients. We talked about that last week, a couple weeks ago. But after a year, the staff noticed that Oscar would spend his days pacing from room to room. He sniffed and looked at the patients, but rarely spent much time with anyone, except when they had just hours to live. He was accurate enough that the staff, including Dosa, knew what time to call the family members when the cat would stretch out beside the patients who were generally too ill to notice his presence. So the people don't know that the cat was there, but he was there, kind of like a comfort, you know. They may not know. They may not be aware of others.
I bet they know.
Oh, there might
I think people know.
Yeah.
They say they can still hear and stuff like that.
They can still hear.
Mm-hmm.
If kept outside the room of a dying patient, the cat would scratch at the doors and walls trying to get in. Whoa.
That's pretty amazing.
Kind of creepy, actually.
It is.
Didn't we used to bring Milo to the nursing home at Castle Rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember
mm-hmm.
a couple times we brought him there. And
therapy
would,
place.
He would sit with patients a couple times. He was a good boy.
Mm-hmm. Good
but
boy.
I don't think he could predict people passing away. I just think
I'm sure if he was there long enough, he'd probably
sure
get
he
this
would.
Up.
He's pretty good cat. About
yeah,
that.
Milo was pretty smart.
But I mean, if he was only there a couple times,
no,
yeah, he wouldn't be able to pick up on a pattern. So they once placed him on a bed of a patient they thought was gravely ill. The cat wouldn't stay put, and the staff thought his streak was broken. Turns out medical professionals were wrong, and the patient rallied for two more days. But in the final hours, Oscar had held his bedside vigil without prompting. So the cat knew. There's this thing that says. There's another article. Did you print this one out that said the cats can detect cancer?
Yes. It's our Kitties in the Know segment.
Yeah, we'll get to that later in the episode. There's a really cool article about cats detecting cancer.
But as of 2015, it is believed that Oscar has accurately predicted 100 deaths.
Jesus.
That's a lot.
How old is the cat?
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
He looks to be middle age.
Yeah, that's what he looks like.
At least in this photo. This article might be from a couple years ago. This guy wrote a book about this cat, but which parts of it are fictionalized. But he said several patients are composite characters. I guess the guy goes on to say that it gave the people comfort to know the cat was there for their loved ones in their final moments. The guy recommends that people be more present for their loved ones. You know, instead of a cat being there, you need to be there. That's a cool story how the cat predicted that. And I think I've heard about that even before we did this research. I remember hearing about Oscar. It may not have been Oscar or some other cat, but that's fascinating.
And then you said there's a ghost named Oscar?
There's a ghost? Yeah,
we used to have in the nursing home, there used to be a ghost named Oscar that would unfortunately walk into people's rooms and
this is a human
scare
ghost.
Them. Yeah, scare these residents, and wasn't long before they had passed.
That's kind of creepy.
So he'd come around only then. That's what the nurses would say.
So if you saw him go into a room, you better watch that patient, huh?
I wonder if, like, nursing homes around the world are like that. Like, if they always have, like, a resident haunt. Like, somebody who didn't cross over or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, got help. Maybe like a helper, like a spirit that helps people cross. Something to think about while you're driving down the interstate.
Hmm.
We're going to do our kitties in the know segment, so cue the music.
All right. So, this article is originally from March 8th, 2012. And it was updated July 26, 2012. So this article is pretty old, but
I thought
it was pretty cool. A gal from Britain, Wendy Humphreys, found out firsthand how powerful that gift can be when her cat Fidge sniffed out a potentially fatal health condition that even doctors hadn't detected. She was bewildered at first, but she was compelled to visit a physician after the 10-month-old cat began jumping on her breast and continued to do so for weeks on end. So pretty much the cat sensed that she had breast cancer, and the doctors hadn't caught it. So what the doctors found astounded Humphreys. She had a malignant tumor in her breast about the size of a pea that could have metastasized if it hadn't been discovered early. She is now scheduled to undergo chemotherapy and credits Fidge with saving her life. Wow. Like, that's...
The person had cancer and the cat was able to, you know, pinpoint where it was.
Yeah, and the doctors hadn't caught it. And then in Japan, in a 2011 study, researchers in Japan conducted trials to see how well a dog could identify people with colorectal cancer. The dog had had a 98% accuracy rate, NPR reported. Sometimes, however, animals' aptitude for detecting changes in humans defies scientific explanation. And then it just goes on to talk about Oscar the cat that we already talked about. But cats can save lives.
Apparently. I'm sure there's other stories that floating around out there about dogs performing CPR and stuff like that. In fact, I know for a fact there are.
Oh, yes. Service dogs are trained to, like, jump with their paws on your chest to try to perform CPR.
And I saw something on TikTok. This is one of the other things that TikTok is good for is you learn a lot of stuff about people with disabilities. This person had, like, seizures, and the dog was trained to recognize when the seizure was happening and, you know, kind of provide a comfort or go get somebody to help. You know, the dog would... They actually did an experiment where the person faked having a seizure and the dog knew what to do. The dog went and got somebody and said, hey, you know, come here.
If a service dog approaches you alone, it wants you to follow because their person needs help.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I've seen on TikTok where people will have, like, big anxiety attacks in the store, and the dog will, like, have them sit down, and then they'll just, like, hug them to, like, calm their senses down and help with the anxiety attack as well.
Mm.
So service dogs can be trained in a variety of different ways. It's actually really amazing. I wish there were more service cats, but I understand that service cats are harder to train.
Service, I would imagine.
Yeah, service dogs seem to be a little bit more practical because they can be larger and they can guide a person better than a cat. Cat's not going to want to do that.
No, but I mean, if you don't really go a lot of places, a service cat could be useful, like around the house and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yes, if you need to be out and about, obviously a service dog would be more of a better fit as a companion. But I mean, if you don't really go anywhere and you're just in your house, service cats can be a really cool thing too.
Yeah, I found an article here about a organization out in Southern California called Paws Into Grace. It's like an end-of-life care for euthanasia for pets at home. Dogs can detect when people are dying or grieving by body language cues and smells. It talks about kind of the same stuff what Oscar was able to do, and it also talks about how this organization helps. So there are actual organizations out there that specialize in this kind of thing, you know, like they have pets for people who are about to pass away or on hospice. You know, it's something, you know, to provide extra care for a person.
Comfort.
Comfort, you know, kind of like what we were talking about a couple weeks ago. But yeah, there's some actual organizations out there. So, well, that's really interesting. This is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, but thank you for sticking around with us for another episode of Catbox Chronicles. Once again, I'm Justin.
And I'm Mel.
And thanks again for my parents for putting up with us to record a couple podcast
episodes.
You're
more than welcome.
Yeah, and we hope to have you on again. Hopefully we'll do this. We'll probably have to do it over Zoom since we're, you know, 600 miles away. But if we come up with a topic we think you guys will like, we'll have you back on. Thanks for coming on again.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, we enjoyed your stories, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys next week. Don't forget you can follow us on Instagram, and then you can email us your episode suggestions at thecatboxchronicles@gmail.com.
Or if you just want to give us praise for our episodes in general.
Or a rant. Yeah, yeah. If you're upset with us, you know, I'm not going to read them on the air, but you're going to hurt my feelings.
Well, I hope there's more good things than bad things.
You wrote a nasty gram. Doesn't like our podcast. Anyway.
Well, if you don't like it, you don't have to listen.
Yeah, there you go.
You can scroll by.
Plenty of other podcasts.
We won't be
there.
Offended, I promise.
My personal recommendation is Strange and Unexplained with Daisy Egan.
Yes.
One of the best podcasts out there right now. And Unsolved Mysteries is coming back for another season. Also, follow my cousin's podcast, All Time Top 10 with Ben Eisen. He does a kick-ass show over there.
We are not sponsored by any of these podcasts.
Right.
So, you know, these are just our own personal recommendations.
So if you're looking for another podcast, there's a couple for you.
But please still listen to ours.
Yeah. And rate us on Apple Podcasts. So I know we're there. We're also on
Google and Spotify.
Yeah, exactly. Those places that Mel mentioned. Audacity. Couple other places floating around, you know, put our name into Google and you can find us. But thanks again for listening. We got to get out of here. Have a good rest of your January. We'll see you on the other side. See you later.
Peace.